This summary will cover some of the hearsay exceptions from Rule 803 and the related California materials. Remember that for these exceptions, the declarant's availability is immaterial. This review will cover the first four hearsay exceptions: present sense impression, excited utterance, state of mind, and injury reports. As always, we will revisit the California Evidence Code and the Confrontation Clause throughout, and think about the fact that even when evidence is admissible under one of the exceptions to the hearsay rule, it could still violate the Confrontation Clause. Let's turn to our first exception: present sense impressions. The key requirements here are a statement describing an event or condition made while the event or condition was perceived or immediately thereafter. Note also that personal knowledge is required for these statements to fall within the exception to the hearsay rule. The next exception is the excited utterance. The difference here is that the statement must relate to a startling event or condition, and it must be made while the person was still under the stress of excitement, and once again, personal knowledge is required. The California exception is a little bit different because the excited utterance must narrate, describe, or explain an act, condition, or event. So that is a bit narrower. One example here was the Obiagbona case with the agent's statement about the girl in the black and white dress being the one to give him the drugs in an undercover purchase. The court held this qualified as both a present sense impression and an excited utterance. Note here that the agent did have the personal knowledge required. It is not clear in this situation if the Confrontation Clause would bar these statements. The fact that the statements were made by a law enforcement agent suggests that they are testimonial, but the fact that statements were made under stress suggests perhaps it was not testimonial. We can contrast the Obiagbona case with the Bemis case. In Bemis, the 911 caller was getting information relayed through another person about a police officer beating a person down on the street. The caller had no personal knowledge, so the court held that the statements were not admissible. Let's turn to our next exception, the state of mind exception. This exception requires that the statement be one of the declarant's then existing state of mind, emotion, sensation, or physical condition. But this exception does not permit admission of a statement of memory or belief to prove the fact remembered or believed unless the statement happens to deal with a will. These are so-called backward-looking statements, such as, "I went to the movies with Bill yesterday." California is a little broader here and would allow statements of previously existing mental condition or physical status. But California also adds the ability to exclude a statement if it is not trustworthy. In the Harris case, we saw a somewhat subtle distinction between statements involving, quote, "I think," which would fall within the state of mind exception, and statements asserting a fact directly, which may be relevant to a person's state of mind and could be non-hearsay if offered to prove the other person's state of mind. Also in this area, we saw the infamous Hillman Doctrine. There, the court admitted letters showing the declarant's present intent to go to Colorado with Hillman, that is, to show future conduct. Next, we saw an example of a backward-looking statement in the Shepherd case, where Mrs. Shepherd said Dr. Shepherd had poisoned her. This was a statement of memory or belief looking backwards and therefore not admissible within the exception. The next exception we looked at was the exception for injury reports. This exception covers statements made for purposes of medical treatment or diagnosis if they pertain to medical history, past or present symptoms, pains, or sensations, or to the inception or general character or cause or source of the medical symptoms, but only insofar as these statements are pertinent to medical treatment or diagnosis. California does not have an equivalent exception, but it does have the provision regarding past mental or physical condition where the declarant is unavailable. And also, a separate exception exists in California regarding statements describing or explaining a threat of physical injury under certain narrow circumstances. One of the key issues in this area is whether the statements are relevant to medical diagnosis or treatment. We saw in the Rock case, where the employee had injured his ankle, statements regarding the cause of the injury are excluded where they are not pertinent to diagnosis or treatment. We also saw that in abuse cases, a broader range of statements are considered relevant to treatment. This would include treatment for psychological injuries. So, the cause of the abuse and the identity of the abuser is more likely to be pertinent to the medical treatment or diagnosis. As we saw in the Moses case, statements to the social worker will fall within this exception to the hearsay rule. But once the statements begin to pertain to a criminal investigation, then the statements will be considered testimonial and cannot be admitted because they will violate the Confrontation Clause unless the person making the statement is available to be confronted and cross-examined by the criminal defendant. As we saw in the Moses case, the moment this occurred was when there was a statement to a social worker that may be needed to make a report to Child Protective Services. At that point, the further conversation became testimonial and therefore could not be admitted without violating the Confrontation Clause, where the declarant was not available to be confronted and cross-examined. That's the end of this summary.